Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and a happy Tuesday to you all. Hope it has been a wonderful start to your work weeks. My name is Eric Sodini, and you are listening to another edition of Sports Unchained here on In The Zone Sports Radio. I've got my co-host, Edwin Gattaro, down here in the pond tonight, fresh off of a tough round of mini golf here this afternoon. Edwin, how are you feeling? This afternoon, this evening, should I say?
It was a tough loss. Lost by a handful of strokes.
Literally five.
But, you know, considering that it was my first time in years, and it was in the wet ground, might I add.
The weather conditions were not the best.
They were not the best.
Made it more interesting.
It was a nice 2018 Pennsylvania summer condition.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, glad to be here. Thanks for having me. And glad to be part of the show.
Absolutely. Glad to have you here. Absolutely.
Going to get right into it tonight. Not a whole lot of breaking news. Ravens cornerback Jimmy Smith has been suspended for 4 games, so definitely a hit to a Baltimore team that was not looking its best already. But we're going to go ahead. We got a lot of going on, a decent amount. Going to have 3 quick hit topics here this evening. First one, and we talked about this a little bit last week, but more developments in the Urban Meyer story for Ohio State. Now, allegedly, assistant coach Zach Smith was partaking in some NSFW, as it's called, not safe for work activities, while at work, had numerous sex toys shipped to the coach's office at Ohio State during their trip to the White House. Apparently took a picture of his nether regions below the waist, his eggplant, as the children would call it in emoji speak.
The children.
The kids, not necessarily the children, but the kids, teenagers, the preteens and everything. The youth, the eggplant emoji, as you would call it, as well as taking pictures of that and some sexual activities in the coach's office as well for Ohio State. So definitely not looking good for Zach Smith in his idea of ever having a career in coaching again. And again, as you know, as we were talking about last week with Jazz, though, how do you not know about this if you're Urban Meyer?
Yeah.
You know, I feel like you'd have to know that someone's getting these things shipped to your coaching, your athletic facilities, but
to their rooms.
To their rooms, exactly, to offices. But on the subject of Urban Meyer, a report came out today that chances are that Meyer will receive a suspension from Ohio State for his alleged actions and his alleged knowledge of what was going on in the personal life of Zach Smith with the domestic violence issues. But the suspension will be also have a time served into it as well. So you figure he'll be back for the regular season. There's no way, if it winds up coming down to a suspension, they're going to let Urban Meyer coach week one without a doubt. And again, I think it's a situation where you can't prove it. And I don't think there's enough. This seems to really just be on Zach Smith. And that's really where you have to leave it at this point, is you got to separate yourself from him. There's really nothing to do to separate yourself from it, but for Urban Meyer's sake, but you just have to get Zach Smith out, say, listen, our bad. We're just going to move on. Urban Meyer's taking his responsibility. He was away from the team for this amount of time, so we're going to allow him to come back. But, again, unless you can prove that Urban Meyer knew and did nothing about it, this is probably the best thing you could have done if you're Ohio State.
Yeah, of course. You have to treat him like a cancer, and what do you do with the cancer? You cut it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what the Ohio State program needs to do with Zach Smith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely so. We'll see what happens there. No official word on what's happening with Urban Meyer and the Ohio State Buckeyes, but I'm sure we'll definitely get a definitive answer before the start of the season. Going on to the next quick hit topic here. And, you know, it's funny with reporters. you know, they do their job. They ask questions that they think are smart questions, and sometimes you don't ask the smartest questions. You saw LeBron get on a reporter in the finals for his question about J.R. Smith and, like, what was J.R. Smith saying, this, that, and a third. LeBron just got up and left. We've seen Bill Belichick, Greg Popovich get smart with the reporters and it not go out, turn out well for them. But there was a reporter for the Big Three, after the Big Three had played, who was interviewing Steven Jackson and Alan Anderson, and had posed the question, and the question is, and the question was, do you think Kobe Bryant could handle the Big Three? And Alan Anderson and Steven Jackson looked at each other, laughed. Steven Jackson almost got up and left.
In the video, yeah, I saw.
You saw, if you haven't seen the video, watch it, because it's pretty funny. And it just makes me wonder, you know, as a reporter, A, and again, nothing against this guy. Again, if you thought that was a smart question, you thought that was a smart question, you know. But we're talking about Kobe Bryant, arguably one of the greatest players of all time, in the conversation for top five, in the conversation for greatest of all time.
Yep.
You're telling me this guy, 2 years removed from scoring 60 points in his final NBA game, couldn't handle a three-on-three basketball league, which is primarily filled with players that played while Kobe Bryant was dominating the NBA?
I mean, well, I think maybe I you would kind of want to give him a little bit of credit, because I mean, he was just asking an opinion, right? He was at the end of the day, he was just asking an opinion, and it definitely got people thinking about it, right?
It got people thinking about wanting him to go to the Big Three,
right? So I mean,
we talked about that before.
He definitely drove a narrative.
Yeah,
probably the most important narrative he's driven in his life thus far.
Uh-huh. And honestly, when you talk about the Big Three, not that there's not good players in there. You know, Steven Jackson's a recognizable guy. Yeah. Alan Anderson was a solid player. You have guys like Kenyon Martin in there. Allen Iverson was associated with it. I don't know exactly if he's still with it this year, but if they were to get a guy like a Kobe Bryant, you know, you get some of these big, big names from when we were growing up watching it, like a Vince Carter, who he's actually still in the NBA, so you couldn't do that, but a Kevin Garnett, a Ben Wallace, a Rasheed Wallace, a Kobe Bryant. You know, you get some of those guys in it. Tracy McGrady.
Does Nash still play?
Steve Nash, if he was in it, you know what I mean? I think Amari Stoudemire's in the Big Three, but, you know, if you got some of those guys, definitely it would make it a lot more interesting. I think a lot more people would tune into it. Again, it's only its second year, and it's very successful as it is right now. And there's players that you don't think about playing a lot in the NBA, like Brian Scalabrine and Kwame Brown.
Isaiah Thomas might be available next year.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So who knows? And honestly, but I don't think this would be an alternative to the NBA because it takes place during the NBA offseason. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is something strictly for retired players. So, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And I don't know if you and I had a chance to talk about it, but I know I had mentioned it on the show before, but there are talks of doing a video game for the Big Three, 3-on-3 basketball league.
Yeah.
And personally, I like that idea. I don't think it could be its own standalone game.
Mm-mm.
Unless, you know, maybe if you do it as like a free purchase type thing off like Xbox Live or the PlayStation Network. But I don't think this is something that anyone would want to pay $60 for.
No, I think it's just too small.
It's too small, and there's not enough. Like when you take a look at NBA 2K and all the things you can do in that, there's a My Player, there's a franchise mode, there's online, the blacktop, the My, like the ultimate team type thing. There's all these things you can do. I don't think you have the ability to do that in the Big Three. I don't think you could do a whole Big Three video game like that, which is why I think, A, maybe you do it as like a free download type thing or a $20 game where you can use all the teams and play 3-on-3.
It would mostly be almost like an
arcade
rocket,
type
like
game.
A Rocket League type.
A Rocket League
just
type game.
Tournament type. And
yeah,
like,
you could do the season
types
and take
of tournaments
a team in
and
it.
Mm-hmm. Different settings in the court and whatever,
yep.
You know.
Play online, you can pick a player, and if you do
play
a
game with 21
team,
instead or something, you know.
I think the best thing that you could do for it, though.
Play knockout.
I think the best thing that you could do for it, though, would be to have it as an attachment in either NBA Live or NBA 2K, because you could do a franchise mode in those. And as you're doing your franchise mode, you could have the big three attached to your franchise mode. And as players retire, they can go and play in the big three. I think that would be the best idea for it. I mean, talks are only very preliminary from what I understand now. As I said, it's just been talked about that there could be a video game. They've been in talks with both 2K and EA Sports. So we'll see what happens with that. We'll talk about that more as it gets into it. But speaking of video games, EA Sports and 2K Sports, Edwin and you and I were talking about this earlier, and I think it's interesting. It's a very interesting thing. But when you talk about Madden NFL,
yeah,
it is the only football game, NFL football game, that I can honestly think about.
Well,
currently, in recent memory, yes.
NCAA has been out for a while.
NCAA, but I'm talking professional football. NFL football. Madden is the only one. EA Sports, the only ones to have it. When you take a look at soccer, you have FIFA, and there's Pro Evolution Soccer.
Yeah.
When you take a look at basketball, you have 2K, you have NBA Live. I don't think there's a second hockey game. I think 2K used to do hockey, I remember back in the day, but they don't do it anymore, I don't think. I think maybe in a way there's an agreement between them with WWE and UFC, because EA Sports does UFC, 2K does WWE. So I don't know, but when it comes to Madden, I think it's just interesting. We talk about how monopolies are illegal in the United States, and you can't have a monopoly on something. But it seems to me that EA Sports has a monopoly on this type of a market, where they're the only people who are allowed to make a football game. And as you said, it's been a while since 2K did. It was ESPN NFL 2K5. Terrell Owens on the cover. That was the last time 2K did a football game. And that game was tremendous, and it really did have EA in a panic. I think some type of an exclusive contract may have been signed, so maybe that's what gets around the idea of it being a monopoly. But I don't know. You and I were talking about it. I thought it was interesting. Just throwing that out there for people to see what they think about it. Let us know. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and Zone Sports Radio. Make sure I post the question up on there after the show tonight. But just an interesting idea, you know? Is this type of thing possibly illegal? Is this a monopoly? Or are you about to sign an exclusive type of a contract, where only you get the rights to this and only you can do something like that? It just doesn't seem right. You know what I mean? When you talk about, you can't be the only cell phone company, you can't be the only cable or internet provider. Doesn't seem like you should be the provider for something as big as the NFL.
Yes, of course. I mean, and I guess it's definitely food for thought, Sardini. Definitely food for thought. And, you know, the NFL is definitely just like a strict, just in the U.S. type sport,
mm-hmm.
but so is basketball, and you still have NBA Live, and you have 2K.
Yep.
And no excuse, yeah.
FIFA is mainly international, but a lot of people play it over here in the United States.
Yeah, true. It's definitely some food for thought to think about what Madden has been able to do in the past 10 years in the landscape of sports, video games,
mm-hmm.
concerning football, American football.
Yeah.
Something about.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I would like to know more about what could happen, because, again, part of the reason why I thought about it was, you know, I just was not thrilled. And again, Madden's good. Madden's always good. You know what I mean? But when you're the only football game out there, you can't just settle for good. But when you are the only football game out there, you can just settle for good, because there's no competition.
What else are you going to go?
You know,
else are you going to go and play?
Not much in the gameplay has changed over the years. It's primarily the same gameplay. There's been little nicks and alters that have happened that make it a little bit smoother. I can say that this year as well, some things that were better were receivers and coverage. They did a lot better job of the receivers not being able to hold on to the ball while taking some of these ridiculous hits, being able to strip receivers during the catch. Movement for the players is definitely a lot better than it has been in years past. But again, there's just little things like that. Still blocking, I don't think, is great for the offensive linemen. Uh-huh. Talk about Madden has their thing, the long shot. one thing I will say about it, there's a long shot that you'll play any actual football during that. That is about 80% cutscenes, 20% gameplay. Not fun at all. Might as well grab some popcorn, maybe take a little bit of a nap while playing it, because you do not, there's no game playing, there's no gameplay at all. That it was, honestly, it wasn't good last year, and you would think they'd improve on it, but not whatsoever.
Yeah.
So, definitely not the best there, but yeah, definitely something to think about, though, when it comes to, could we ever see 2K make another football game, because I think it would be a welcoming sign. Definitely think it'd be a welcoming sign, but sticking on the subject of football, going to get into our first topic here of the evening with the NFL Roundup.
Woo.
Starting to make its way back here on Sports Unchained. We got the Washington Redskins. Rookie running back Darius Geis tore his ACL, going to be out for the season. Leaves the Redskins in a bit of a hole. They go out and they sign Adrian Peterson. What do you think, Edwin?
I think it's a good move for them, signing a veteran like Adrian Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
I think he still has more left in the tank. Thinking he only played the last half of the season last year, I think.
With Arizona. He started with the Saints. It did not go well. And then he wound up signing with Arizona a short while after David Johnson had gone down.
Yeah, and I think his quarterback in Washington will be Alex Smith. Right,
yep.
Correct.
Yeah. Alex Smith.
I think together they can make it work. They can make it work. It'll be interesting to see what it's like, because I think this might be his last year, if not his second to last year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if he doesn't go back to the Vikings somehow, or you know, something happens, whatever. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I hope it works out.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of hope it doesn't, because they're in my division. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting, but...
A little biased.
Mm-hmm. But it's a good pickup for the Redskins. I think when you talk about... I think it's sad. First of all, I think it's sad that a guy like Adrian Peterson wasn't on an NFL roster already, you know? Maybe some of it comes to him wanting to have a certain role with the team that the team doesn't want to give him, much like the Saints last year. Peterson thought he was going to be the starter, getting the bulk of the carries and the bulk of the backfield time. Was not the case. He went to Arizona when David Johnson went out, and it gave him more time. But I think the situation in Washington, whether Geis was there or not, I think Peterson would have been a good fit. Because Geis is a rookie, not used to that grind of the NFL, linebackers hitting you much harder than the speed of your NFL corners that are going to be able to catch you quicker, more than you'll be able to think about. Linebackers will be able to catch you as well when you think you've broken it, but you haven't.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for the Redskins, it wouldn't be whether they had Geis or not. Peterson's a good fit there. Peterson's a guy who we've seen what Peterson's done healthy and coming off an injury. It was tremendous his rookie year there. Ran for 298, almost ran for 300 yards in a game. Coming off the ACL injury, almost broke the rushing record set by Eric Dickerson, went over 2,000 yards. So I'm excited for it. I think it's a good fit there, right? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Definitely, like I said, it'll be an interesting watch to see. I'm gonna miss not seeing Kirk Cousins there, because I'm a Cousins fan.
Yeah.
But I guess I'll kind of be rooting for him because he's out in Minnesota now, so I'll be watching him afar. But back to Peterson, he's definitely one of my favorite running backs to ever play in the game, and I want him to go out in a nice, bright light.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, we'll be watching him.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I'm excited for Adrian Peterson. I think Washington could be a sleeper team in the NFC this year. Nothing against Kirk Cousins, because I think Kirk Cousins is good. But Alex Smith isn't going to make the mistakes that a Kirk Cousins will make. You know what I mean? Kirk Cousins will take the risk that'll win you a game that Alex Smith won't make, but I'm more willing to take an Alex Smith who won't take that risk, but do what I need to do and not take that gamble and not take that 30-yard gamble into double coverage when we don't need it, but could score,
versus taking the 10-yard first down. So that's what I'm more concerned. That's why I would go with Alex Smith. But when you take Alex Smith and you throw in a guy like Adrian Peterson, even better, because now he has a proven running back to complement him in that offense.
Yeah, and I mean, not to hate on Alex Smith, but I mean, so you mean to say you want to go 6-0 and then just go trailing down from there, huh? Because that's pretty much what he's done the past couple seasons, right? With look at the Chiefs, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty talented team.
Yeah, but you have to think about also, Alex Smith did his job. You know, he was putting up 20 points in the playoffs for Kansas City, sometimes more. Never much less, you know?
I'm just saying, like,
so the defense, and Marcus Peters, who the Chiefs did trade, who was star corner there, even said it himself. You can't blame Alex Smith for the playoff loss. He's like, we didn't do our job as defense. So when someone who played for the Chiefs defense said that was on us, it does make Alex Smith look better, but I do understand where you do come from there.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I don't think I've seen enough from Alex Smith later
in
the last quarter of the season.
But let me ask you this, though, as well. Who's been to the playoffs? Who hasn't been to the playoffs? Who's won their division multiple times? Who hasn't won their division multiple times?
Well, who just won the Super Bowl?
Neither of them. The Eagles won the Super Bowl, but I don't understand what that has to do with what we're talking about right now, Mr. Katow.
No, it's just like a nice little reminder of who
was. It was nice. Yeah, absolutely. But I think Peterson's going to have a good year there over there in Washington. Playing alongside a quarterback like Alex Smith, I think it only benefits you as a running back, especially when you're talking about a guy like Alex Smith who does work well in a run-first offense. And you're not going to have to kill Alex Smith. He's a good game manager. Number one overall pick, like, you don't just get taken number one overall for no reason. Didn't pan out in San Francisco, but came out in San Francisco.
Yeah.
So I think I'm looking forward to what Alex Smith has to do this year in Washington. I think Kansas City did him dirty because I think he should have been there one more year, then let Mahomes take the reins. But again, as you said, that when he wasn't producing in the playoffs, so for Kansas City, maybe it was time to move on.
Yeah, like I said, like you said earlier, it definitely wasn't him. He wasn't throwing up picks. You know,
he wasn't costing them games.
He wasn't Roethlisberger throwing five picks in a game that last season, you know? He never had, like, one horrible game on him.
We're talking about a guy who was lacking on Tom Brady last year.
Yeah, he was consistent.
Yeah.
He wasn't flashy, but
he was consistent.
The
thing that you could argue with Kirk Cousins, Smith won't cost you the game, but Cousins can win you the game. He'll make that so that can win you the game.
That's why I like my cousin.
I like Cousins too.
That's why I like my cousin.
Speaking of a quarterback,
Cousins.
Andrew Luck is back in football.
Boys is back in town.
And it's been a shaky preseason for him thus far. First game against Seattle, he was 6-9 for 64 yards. Just the other day against Baltimore, 6-13 for 50 yards and an interception. Hasn't been the best preseason for him yet thus far, but he's been out 15-plus months. If you're in Indianapolis, are you concerned about Luck shakiness this preseason, and what are your expectations for Luck and the Colts this year?
From what I saw on Madden today, when he's healthy, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
But Madden is not an accurate source. Madden is one of the
Well, from what I saw today.
That was a
better
team in Madden.
But true. That was a way better team he had. Anyways, you know, it's the future is always it's untold, you know. That's what's future. You can't, it's unpredictable, but you use the past and events in history to try to make an educated guess of what's to come later on.
Yeah.
And from the past, I mean, Andrew Luck, he's always been a tough guy. He's always loved the contact.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he likes
to get dirt in his knuckles.
He's like a backyard football type of guy. You know, he has that Brett Favre gene.
He's a tough dude.
You know, he definitely has more than a couple pairs of Wranglers.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
Wearing some Levi's for sure.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, and I'm saying this just optimistically, you know, just hoping for the best. I think the Colts are going to improve this year compared to last year, but I doubt they'll be making the playoffs. I have to look about. I have to look and see who's in their division.
It's the NFC South. It's got
South.
The Jaguars.
Jaguars.
The Texans. And the Titans. So, it's a tough division. But again, when you have a quarterback like Andrew Luck, you know he's good himself.
Yeah.
For at least six. And he'll carry you to eight.
But that's what I don't want to see.
But they don't have enough around it right now. That's their problem.
Exactly.
Problem right now. So, that's what I'm saying. The expectation for Luck is he can have a great year. But for Indianapolis themselves, it's going to be a struggle. Because, listen, as you said, listen, Jacksonville. And, listen, Jacksonville, a bit of a Cinderella last year. So, I don't know how they'll do. Again, like as I told you, it's the Raiders syndrome. You had a weak schedule, you're great.
Uh-huh.
Then you got to come back the next year, play a tougher schedule. Let's see how you really do against the better teams throughout the whole course of the regular season. Raiders went 6-10. Blake, just enough Bortles, as I like to call him. It depends, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can your defense do that well against these top-level teams consistently? And how many games can you go out there and win? You look at the Texans, healthy Watson, J.J. Watt, Clowney, Hopkins.
No, that's what I'm saying. No way, no way, no way.
Houston's going to be the favorite in that division.
Yeah, and then
Titans,
next.
And then you have Tennessee. You never know with them. Mm-hmm. Always around that 8-8, 9-7 mark the past couple years.
They're a grinded out team.
You're waiting for it's really just about waiting for Mariota to take that next step and become an elite quarterback.
But I think the Titans are just like so much bigger than the Colts.
They're better than the Colts, absolutely.
Yeah.
Listen, the Colts can. I wouldn't be surprised if the Colts could win the division. They could. Listen, you have Andrew Luck. When you have Andrew Luck, that is a possibility. I'm not saying it will happen, but I would not be shocked if the Colts won the division, but I don't see it. They're going to be 3 or 4.
Yeah, they'll be 3 or 4.
They'll be 3 or 4 in that.
And that's if the Titans just, like, slip up.
Someone has to slip up for that, though.
And you know someone's getting fired out of there.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You gotta get Luck in offensive
no.
line. You gotta get him more.
That's what I'm saying. Like
T.Y. Hilton.
Tennessee's like is on a pressure year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Titans they're on like a looking up year, another building year.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Who's the fourth team there?
Jacksonville.
That defense ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
Their offense is just.
Mm-hmm.
They're still, you know what I'm saying, but
offense is what for Jacksonville. It's what does the offense do? The offense is there. They're dangerous. If the offense isn't there, they'll be average. So you definitely got to see what happens there with Jacksonville and that offense, because that's definitely the most important part there.
I definitely know Jacksonville will have 2 losses on their schedule, because
mm-hmm.
I think we play them twice.
No, you don't.
No, I think we play them once.
You play them once, so you know they'll have at least 1 loss.
They'll have 1 loss.
I hope you guys lose now. I hope you guys lose. Yeah. Try and hit me. Let's see what happens, Evan. But for Andrew Luck, though, going back to Andrew Luck here for a second, though, I think when you look at a guy like Andrew Luck, the IQ will always be there. You know what I mean? No matter what you talk about physically with Andrew Luck, the IQ will always be there. He's smart. He knows how to study film. When he's watching film, when he's playing in the game, he'll be able to read that defense, move people pre-snap to where things need to get to. It's about the physical part of it for Andrew Luck. Can he hold up? How does he feel after the surgery and being out for so long? Because, again, you're going to have to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
You've got multiple surgeries in that time frame. You're not going to be the same individual that you were 15 months ago. You have to get back to that. So it is, can you get back to that? And how long of a process will it be to get back to that if you can?
Yeah. And, not to put you on the spot, but would you happen to know who's the backup in Indy?
I think it's still Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah. Okay, all right. You know, nothing like a nice sore back in week 6 or something. You know?
It's not going well. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
If you're Andrew Luck, you got to go out there and you have to prove that you can play still. You know what I mean? You can't go out there and even if it's not going well, You need to go out there, not just for the people, for yourself.
Yeah.
You haven't played in 15 months. Can you still go out there and compete at the highest level? You need to be able to go out and do that. And for a guy like Andrew Luck, I don't think it's enough to go out there and just do it. He needs to go out there and win again.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about a guy who has won a playoff game. So can he get back there?
Yeah. And definitely another interesting watch, Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if he's going to keep the beard and grow it out.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Definitely interesting there. But staying on the subject of quarterbacks, you know, there's some rookie quarterbacks that get a chance to start every year, some that come in midway through the season where their team doesn't get a chance to play, some that sit for years and then become stars like an Aaron Rodgers, some that come in because the starter gets hurt and blossom into the GOAT if you're Tom Brady. But we have some rookies this year, and it's interesting to see if some will start. And the ones that mainly we're talking about are the first-rounders in this year's draft. You had Baker Mayfield go number one overall to Cleveland. We'll start with him. I don't think he'll start. I know it's kind of funny how we talk about the subject of quarterbacks and will they start, and we start with one that we say won't start. But I think for Cleveland, you brought in Tyrod Taylor for a reason. I think Tyrod's going to be the starter going into the year. I wouldn't be surprised if Mayfield gets snaps at some point if he winds up starting a game or two towards the end of the season. But I think you brought in Tyrod Taylor, who took Buffalo to the playoffs last year despite all the nonsense that he had to go through.
And got benched for no reason.
Got benched for no reason. And you have weapons like a Jarvis Landry, like a Flash Gordon. And let me just say something about Josh Gordon real quick. And I know we said this on the show before too, but there was a rumor going around that he was playing games under the influence. That scares me. If I'm going up against Josh Gordon, honestly. This man was playing games under the influence.
Allegedly.
And tearing it up, having multiple double-digit receiving touchdown years, going over 1,000 yards. What is that man going to do to me sober? I don't know. But
and looking to prove something.
And looking to prove something that he can still play.
Willing to lower his shoulder.
Yep. And then you talk about the potential of Dez Bryant going into Cleveland as well. It's an interesting offense. Then you have Myles Garrett. I think they still have Jamie Collins. So a few pieces there on the defensive end, on the defensive side of the ball. So they'll be an interesting team this year. I don't think Baker starts. I see them around the 5-11, 7-9 range. Not in a playoff position, but they're going to get some wins this year, I think. They've got the offense to get some wins.
They'll definitely get some wins. And by some wins, more than one, if not just one. So, I mean, the bar is set very low. But I think they'll get I don't know if I caught it, but did you say a number for them? How many wins? Did you project a number?
I'm going between 5 and 7.
That's where I was going. That's where I was going.
I'm saying closer to 5 or 6, but I could see 7 and 9 end of the year. You know, a team plays their backups one of the last two games.
Yeah.
And they can snag one. But I'm gonna say around 5 and 11, 6 and 10.
You know what? I'd give them a 7.
7 or 8. Ooh, okay.
7 or 8.
I can see it happen. And moving along, though, we've got Sam Darnold, taken number 3 overall by the New York Jets. Jets allegedly have Teddy Bridgewater on the block, looking to trade him. So I think that leaves it for Sam Darnold to come in there, be the starter from day one. I don't know if it's just because I don't like – not that I don't like the Jets, but it's the Jets. You know what I mean? I don't think – Sam Darnold is the answer. And I could be very wrong about this because I was wrong about Carson Wentz. I wasn't the highest on Carson Wentz because he was coming from Division I AA. But something about the Jets and Sam Darnold, I just don't like it. I just don't like it. And you play in a division with the New England Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he'll start.
So you already know you're not going to win that one.
He'll start, but again, your rookie quarterback starting in the NFL. I don't like those odds as it is.
Yeah.
4-12 for the Jets if Sam Darnold starts this year.
It's definitely hard. It's a hard decision. It's a hard decision. Yeah. But I will go with the safe route and start the vet.
What vet? If you trade Bridgewater, what vet?
I'm keeping. There's still about McCown, right?
I think so, but I don't know if you're gonna start him. You could.
Mm-hmm.
You very well could, but I think if you're trading Bridgewater, then you're pretty much going in the route of.
But I'd rather finish. I'd rather finish out the losing season. When the fans were calling for Darnold.
You'd rather have him come in and appease the fans than have to be terrible from the beginning and want to say.
Let's lose with the fans than against the fans.
Okay.
You know?
I got you.
At least we'll lose together and it'll go down as like a wash year.
Okay.
It was a rookie year, you know? Next year, he'll off season, he'll get better. We'll get a better team and blah, blah, blah.
I see what
we have a good draft pick and all that, you know?
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. Right?
I would rather that narrative than Darnold lost us our first four games, and what are we gonna do now? Oh my gosh, McCown was trash too, and what draft pick are we getting? It's more pressure on that draft pick. It's a way different narrative.
Yeah, I see what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I can get that.
I'd rather be looking for offensive lineman next year than a new quarterback.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I get where you're coming from. Then you got Josh Allen taking number 7 overall by the Buffalo Bills, and for Buffalo, you guys are idiots. And a quarterback that took you to the playoffs last year, had you with a winning record that you traded. Backup comes in, throw 5 interceptions, more interceptions to the other team than interceptions to his own team. And who is that? What is the name of that gentleman you ask, Ellen? That man's name is Nathan Peterman. You and I might be better NFL quarterbacks than Nathan Peterman. I might go 0-7, but at least I won't have 5 interceptions.
Whew. Sipping the tea, Eric. I'm sipping the tea.
So for Josh Allen.
Buffalo.
Listen, you have Shady McCoy. So you got a running back there. But again, rookie quarterback, you're gonna load up on Shady. And again, we don't know what's gonna happen with Shady and that alleged assault that he's been accused of.
And they got rid of Watkins, right?
They got rid of Watkins. He's on the Rams now.
That's when I knew it was going downhill.
That was last year. And they still at the playoffs.
And then Tyrod still took him to the playoffs.
Yep. So, for Buffalo, I definitely don't like their chances, especially no Tyrod Taylor. A rookie quarterback, not liking it. 5-11, 5 wins or less there for Buffalo, I think.
Yeah, you know what? Forget the Jets. They're just the Jets.
It's Buffalo.
Buffalo. Sorry. You know they're up there at that New York area. Well, very far from each other, but not very far. But
yeah,
Buffalo. I liked them. Last year. I used to pick them.
You picked
them. I picked them a lot. Tyrod, that was my man. Shady, my other man. But this year, it's just, I'll forget it. We'll see. The Patriots will take their division anyway, so I feel like maybe even the Dolphins in their division might be more of an interesting watch. Actually, you know, the Browns, I guess, are more interesting to watch than they are, to be honest, this year, for sure, between the Baker-Tyrod situation, Jarvis being the leader of that receiving core with Josh Gordon, it used to be Antonio Coleman, their high draft pick for a wide receiver, but I think from what I saw in Hard Knocks, he got shipped out for seventh rounder in 2022.
Yep, Corey Coleman.
Yeah,
Corey Coleman.
To the Bills. Yeah, Corey Coleman. Away. Yeah. Yeah, so
did not produce the way they hoped to. The former first round pick there.
I forget their other. Who's their third wide receiver?
That's all he's got right now, I think. Potentially Dez.
No way they would have Jarvis, Gordon, Dez.
They might have Dez. Not yet, but potentially.
Oof.
But yeah, it's going to be interesting. But I'm with you there. Buffalo, there's really not much attention to pay attention this year, except for the Bills Mafia. I'm sure you'll see some Twitter Barstool highlights of those guys.
Bills Mafia.
3-6 Bills Mafia. But yeah, not much reason to pay attention to them. But yeah, definitely Miami with Tannehill coming back definitely could be a little bit more interesting. Although remember, I don't know if you know this, but in Dominican Sue taking shots at his old team. Miami gave up a big run in their last preseason game, and Dominican Sue on Twitter goes, "Oh, right up the gut." Savage stuff there from Dominican Sue. Then you're looking at Josh Rosen over there in Arizona. And I'm not too sure about that situation in Arizona, you know what I mean? You have David Johnson. You have Larry Fitzgerald. So you have weapons, you know what I mean? The question is, do you go with the rookie or do you go with the veteran?
And who is the vet?
I believe it's Carson Palmer still. I'm about to get that here in a second.
Well, he had an injury that, right?
He had a big injury, so I don't know if he's gone for good or not.
I haven't heard anything.
So you might be on the depth chart, the official depth chart, they have Sam Bradford starting. That is right. Bradford did go over there.
I mean, hey, Bradford won some games in Minnesota.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, Bradford did well in Minnesota before he got hurt.
He had a hot game, but four games.
He had a chance to revive himself. But I think, as you said with the Jets, this is the same situation with Josh Rosen. You know what I mean? You start Bradford, and if Bradford plays well, guess what? Awesome. You know what I mean? You take that and you run with it. But if Bradford plays bad, then the fans want Rosen to come in towards the end of the season and you're able to appease them. You don't have to put him on the stake right away. You can let the fans see how Bradford does because, again, you have weapons. You have Larry Fitzgerald. You have David Johnson. You know what I mean? So you have people there for Bradford to play along with.
Yeah, I can't say I really trust Bradford because we've been through the Sam Bradford experiment, and can't say
it turned out well.
Turned out well, yeah. Can't even say it was a sweet and sour type thing. No, it was just
no.
Trash. Yeah. So and I don't know Cardinals. I think they'll be in a rebuilding process for the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
To build around their future, who is eventually, hopefully, will be Josh Rosen.
Josh Rosen, yeah.
And I think Bruce Arians is also on his way out.
I don't see him sticking around.
I don't see him sticking around longer, and I think maybe health wise as well, he's been through some things.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure, 100%, but. Yeah, I think Arizona is one of those franchises who's going to be going through a rebuilding process.
I think so. I'm not seeing them in the playoffs. It's going to be top 10, maybe top 15 draft pick for them.
I literally have not heard one thing from that franchise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the last quarterback we have there, Lamar Jackson, we talked about that last week with Jazz. Probably not going to start. Flacco's cooling over there in Baltimore. So I'm not anticipating anything bad from Lamar Jackson this year, possibly till week 15, 16, 17. But speaking of quarterbacks, you know, Jalen Ramsey, cornerback for the Jacksonville Jaguars, has had a lot to say about quarterbacks recently. Went on a good rant over there the other week here. And I was able to pull something up online the other day. Jalen Ramsey ranked the quarterbacks with quotes. We're going to start from the bottom up. We're going to read off the quotes, and we're going to see how we feel about these. Only 25 quarterbacks. The starting quarterbacks that were not mentioned by Jalen Ramsey. Sam Bradford, Andy Dalton, Case Keenum, Patrick Mahomes, Josh McCown, Cam Newton, Dak Prescott, Alex Smith, and Jameis Winston. Quarterbacks that were not
mentioned.
So this is 25 and up from Jalen Ramsey with a quote. 25, Josh Allen.
I think Buffalo Bills draft pick Josh Allen is trash. I don't care what nobody says. Say he trash. And it's going to show, too. That's a stupid draft pick to me. When we play them this year, and I'm excited to sell. I hope he's the starting quarterback. Book's still out on Josh Allen. We'll see what happens with Josh Allen. So you can't say I disagree with having a rookie at the bottom there.
Ass pick on that game?
Yep. Joe Flacco, number 24. And just being honest about it, Flacco sucks. I played him 2 years in a row. He sucks.
Asterisk on that game.
If they play. I don't know
if they play. Let me look up the Jacksonville schedule as you
yep.
roll on this list.
Then, yeah, you'll look it up. But number 23, Andrew Luck. I don't think he's that good. Him and T.Y. Hilton had a connection in the past that made him stand out a little bit more, but I don't think he's good. Listen, Luck, and again, Luck's put up big numbers. It's been a while since you've seen Luck play, so I don't know. Book's still out on that. But I disagree with that one as of what we've seen from Andrew Luck prior.
They do not play the Ravens.
Do they? They play the Bills, though, correct?
They do play the Bills.
Okay. Do they play the Colts? Yes, they are in
the
same division.
They play twice, yes.
So maybe Ramsey doesn't know anything about that, though, because this was his rookie year this past year. Or 2 years ago, but I don't think he's played against Andrew Luck yet.
He only talked trash about a couple of the quarterbacks.
Well, we'll see here. We've got 25 quarterbacks.
All right.
Matt Ryan, number 22.
Oh, that's one of them.
I think Matt Ryan's overrated. You can't tell me you won MVP 2 years ago, then last year you a complete bust and still got Julio Jones. There's no way that should ever happen. I don't care.
That is the next preseason game, but I doubt that.
That's going to matter. Do they play in the regular season?
They do not play in the regular
season. Okay. Number 21, Ryan Tannehill. I don't know much about him. I haven't heard the greatest stuff about him, but I don't know him personally, so I can't tell you. Tannehill has not done much.
They play for Dolphins?
They do play the Dolphins.
Yep, they play
They're in the same division.
Right after my birthday.
No, they're not in the same division.
Yep.
Okay, but
yep.
They do play the Dolphins this year.
December 23rd?
Yep. Number 20, Eli Manning. Eli, it's not really Eli. I think it's Odell Beckham. I won't say Eli's good. I'll say Odell's good and their connection is good.
That's week one.
Week one. Okay.
Week one.
I like it.
Asterisk.
And again, I think that is true about Eli, though. He had two good playoff runs. And again, two major catches that were really on the hinges of those defenses that the Giants had. So I can see where he comes from that one. Tannehill, we don't know much about. Matt Ryan, good years. But again, I think he does have a point. When you have a guy like Julio Jones, you shouldn't be bad as a quarterback. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Andrew Luck, and we've talked about everyone since then. Number 19, Ben Roethlisberger. Big Ben, I think he's decent at best. It's not Big Ben. It's Antonio Brown. Big Ben slings the ball a lot of the time. He just slings it, and his receivers go get it. He has a strong arm, but he ain't at all. He ain't all that. I played him twice last year, and he really disappointed me. He'll be in the Hall of Fame and all that. And again, this is Jalen Ramsey making an assessment of Big Ben this past year. Not a good year for Big Ben. But when you look at Big Ben's body of work, Big Ben's not better than decent. But current day Big Ben, I think, yeah, he does get to rely on Antonio Brown. He does get to rely on Le'Veon Bell a good bit there.
Yeah, yeah. And this, by the way, they play them mid-November, the 18th.
Oh.
So I think – always, actually, it'll be an asterisk on that game regardless, actually.
Yeah.
Just, Ben has something to prove.
Yeah, Ben's got something to prove with that.
Especially not only the trash talk, but just from his performance in the last time they met.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
We'll see.
Another game.
And then 18 and 17 will group together because they're rookie quarterbacks and the book is out on them. But 18 was Lamar Jackson. He said I would have picked Lamar Jackson earlier than 32. I think he's going to do a good job, especially with the Ravens offensive coordinator. He likes running quarterbacks, likes that read option. Book's still out on Lamar Jackson, but I don't anticipate much coming from him this year as a quarterback. And then 17 was Baker Mayfield. So if they want that type of quarterback, confident, get out of the pocket, throw on the run, big plays, charisma, then yeah, I understand Baker Mayfield going number one. Nothing really about his play, just that he's an energetic guy. But the book's still out on those two, so we can't really comment on those.
Yeah.
Number 16, Jimmy Garoppolo. just because when they beat us, his hype picked up. They were like, he beat the number one defense. It was all schemes. He didn't beat us. It wasn't like he dissected up. It was literally all schemes. Seems to be a little salty that he got defeated by Jimmy G.
He's salty.
But
you're supposed to be.
Jimmy G tore it up.
Were you not the best defense?
Yeah.
You were saying you're the best defense.
And listen, if it was one game, good game Jimmy G had, I'd give that to you.
So,
but he played tremendous when he got to San Francisco last year. So I'm going to disagree with him there. Number 15, Jared Goff. Jared Goff, he's average to above average. Two years in the league, right? One great year, so we'll see what happens with Goff. Book's still out on him, but a good year last year. Number 14, Blake Bortles. Blake, do what he got to do. I think in crunch time moments like last year's playoff game, not as a team because we would have trusted him, but I think as an organization, we should have trusted him more to keep throwing it. You're not going to expect him to say anything bad about his quarterback. What is that?
I think he also said he do what he got to do.
Yeah, just enough.
He do what he got to do.
Number 13, Tyrod Taylor. I think Tyrod is actually a better quarterback than he gets credit for because he does not make mistakes. That's true. Tyrod Taylor kind of in that Alex Smith boat, not going to kill you, trying to make a play, but not necessarily going to win the game for you either.
I think Tyrod did.
Number 12, Matthew Stafford. I think he's straight. I don't think he's the best quarterback out there, but he do what he got to do. Big numbers definitely helped when he had Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
But definitely top 15 quarterback in the league. You can make the argument for top 10.
They definitely lost like a couple
he's
close,
that guy
really
who'll win that
game
for you, though.
Yeah, and I think he, if it was not last year, the year before that, he led the league in a comeback win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. Listen, if I had to have Matthew Stafford on my team, I'm not mad.
I used to pick the Lions a bunch.
I'm not mad. Number 11, Philip Rivers.
Philip.
I think he's pretty good.
I would also say that, yeah.
Number 10, Derek Carr. I think he's good. I think he's a little bit better than good, but again, I'm a Raiders fan. But not a good year last year. Not a good year last year, but with the exception of last year, he got better every year so far in the league. I'm excited to see him with Gruden this year. Gruden had an MVP quarterback in Rich Gannon, so we know Gruden can have him, knows how to do well with a good quarterback. We'll see what happens. Number 9, Nick Foles. He won the Super Bowl, so he's good enough to do that.
Come on. That's Big St. Nick.
Yep. Big Nick, man.
Big St. Nick.
Big blank Nick. Number 8, Russell Wilson. I think Russell Wilson is good. I think he's just a really good leader, though. I think that's true. People look up to Russell Wilson. He knows how to control the locker room, but he's not an elite quarterback. Good on his feet. Not going to kill you. Can win you that game, make a couple of those throws, but
no, I think he has a good
he's above average.
Yeah, he's above average, and he has a good argument for being in that elite conversation. He's not definitively there, but he has a good argument.
A good argument, because here's the thing I say about Russell.
He's knocking on the door.
If I took away Russell Wilson's legs,
he's a Super Bowl winner. I mean,
he is. No, nothing against Russell Wilson, but if I took away
one play,
if I took away his legs, what is he as a quarterback though?
But that's not fair. That's not fair.
Why is that not fair? I don't like that argument, and I don't like that comparison.
It's like saying, take away Tom Brady's IQ.
Difference. You gain your IQ. You study film. An IQ, it's not something natural that you have, like an athletic ability.
That's natural.
Some of it is, but a lot
of it. What do you mean?
IQ is preparation. IQ is watching film. Knowing what the defense likes to do in this situation, being able to call an audible. And Russell Wilson has a tremendous IQ as well.
Yeah.
But Russell Wilson's biggest advantage and what makes him super special is his running ability.
But that's because he's had to.
Yeah.
He's had to.
But again, I take nothing away from Russell.
But I feel like Russell Wilson, of all the quarterbacks that do scramble the most,
uh-huh.
he'll be willing to he'd be proficient
in the pocket.
And that's why I think if you took away his legs, he's still in the same class.
Yeah.
I think the fact that he has his legs gives him the puts him in the conversation to be elite. But I think if he didn't have his legs, he'd be in that second tier. Guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, like between him and Cam Newton, I feel like it'll be like a.
I think Russell Wilson, because I trust him more as a thrower than Cam Newton.
You almost have to get over the you have to get over the eye test of just seeing Cam in person and being like, bigger, stronger.
Yeah.
Just look at him. Just look at the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But Russ has those intangibles, you know, and it's that leadership mentality as well that also carries through, you know?
Yeah, no, 100%. 100% I agree with you.
Yeah.
Moving on, though. Number 7, Kirk Cousins. I think he's good. I think he's a winner. He's a hell of a competitor. Coming off the play action, he's the best quarterback in the league. Play action passing, he's a hell of a quarterback. He had a good year. He was good in Washington, but again, he'll just kill you because he wants to make those plays.
No,
a bit of a stat patter as what he's been accused of.
His team has always been a revolving door of just like tight ends, offensive line, his defense. Washington has always been an injury-ridden squad.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you, but here's the thing. Regardless of what goes on with players, if you have a revolving door of injuries, if you're a stat patter, you're a stat patter.
I mean, how did Kirk Cousins take the field to begin with? RG3 got injured.
I understand that 100%. But listen, if you're a stat patter,
they went through different coordinators, coaches.
But that if you're a stat patter, you're a stat patter.
All right.
You know what I mean?
If you're LeBron James, you're LeBron James. I mean.
But that's the thing, though. He's been accused of trying to take the big shot because he's more concerned about his stats than he is trying to win the game.
He's trying to win the game. And I like that.
But there's times where he can take the guaranteed 10, get the first down, or try and go for the 30-yard bomb. That's not trying to win the game. That's trying to pad your stats and win the game.
Well, that's why Minnesota is going to be an interesting watch this year.
I think so. Moving along, though, number 6, Marcus Mariota. I think Marcus Mariota is a great quarterback for their team. Trying to develop, I think a good comparison for Mariota is Russell Wilson. I think a guy who's trying to be proficient as a passer first, but has that leg ability, but still right now at this stage of Mariota's career, a little too reliant on the legs. Needs to get more efficient in the pocket.
I feel like if he swapped Wilson and Mariota, I feel like the Titans will be a very good team Russell Wilson there. Right? I mean, it would almost be giving him like two Marshawns. I mean,
Delaney Walker, Derrick Henry.
Wait, DeMarco Murray, I think he retired, right?
He retired,
He retired. Oh, man. But still, you still have Henry and
It's a good team. Number five.
A decent offensive line.
Number 5 on the Jalen Ramsey list, Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz, for every year starting now until 5 to 10 years, is going to be the M2 with Watson. They're that good. And number 4, Deshaun Watson, he'll be the league MVP in a couple of years. 100%. That's not even a debate about that. 2 of the best young quarterbacks in the league, without a doubt. Without a doubt, 2 of the best young quarterbacks in the league. Number 3 on the list, Tom Brady. Doesn't suck. Number 2,
facts.
I think he's salty about losing to Brady in the AFC Championship.
Facts.
Number 2, Aaron Rodgers. Does not suck.
Also facts.
And number 1, Drew Brees. I'm a fan of Drew Brees. I think Drew Brees, really good. Even at this age, he still runs everything.
And they do play the same.
Yep. Now, I don't disagree with that list. I think that's where I would rank the majority of those quarterbacks. I think guys like Mayfield, Jackson, are a little high because I haven't seen anything from them. But for the most part, though, I can't disagree with that. You know what I mean? It'd be interesting to see where Ramsey would rank the quarterbacks that he didn't talk about, Winston, Newton, Bradford, Prescott, Smith, Mahomes, Keenum. Be interesting to see where he would rank those guys. But, I think two questions that we have to talk about before we move on to our next subject here. What are your thoughts on those rankings?
I would agree with, I think, 85%, if not 90%.
Yeah. I think for the most part, where like if you were to rank him in tiers, every quarterback is in the tier that you would rank him in according to the list that he had.
Yeah.
And then second question. And I guess you could – I feel like the answer is yes because he is an NFL player. But, again, he hasn't played against all these quarterbacks. So I think there's some personal feelings that are going into this. Is he qualified and should he be doing things like this?
Well, I think it was one of those like, spur-of-the-moment things between him and the interviewer.
Yeah.
And it just kind of went on and on and on. And he just listed a bunch of quarterbacks that are in the league right now.
Yeah.
And
I don't think, like, he didn't do it on his own, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, he just gave his honest opinion, like, just real quick, just off the cuff, just, yeah, whatever, just, you know, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Just, he's not going to sit there and list you their resumes or anything. He just gave you an honest opinion of what he thought. It was judgmental, yes, because it was a judgment of what he thought his competition was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of it was an interesting insight into a current rising NFL defensive player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. But I'm excited to see Jacksonville this year. We're going to be an interesting thing with them having a bit of a tougher schedule. Football season, preseason started, regular season right around the corner there. I'll be out there in Oakland in the black hole. I'll make sure I take some videos for everybody, but I'll be there for the Monday night opener against the Los Angeles Rams. But we're going to go ahead, get on to our next topic here, and we've got Edwin's football/soccer table. Take it away, Mr. Gattel.
Yeah, ring-a-ding-ding-ding. Let's go. We'll kick it off with the home squad, Liverpool beating Crystal Palace 2-0 with Milner scoring in the 45th minute with a penalty kick and Mane scoring in the 93rd minute to close out the game, and another 3 points for the lads at Anfield. And so far, two wins in the bag, two clean sheets. So far, the squad is looking good. I think we still have yet to see Fabinho on the field, another one of the signings that came onto the squad this year. But it was also great to see Keita on the field. Not as exciting as he was in the first game, but still a win in the bag. And that's all that counts, right?
I mean,
2-0.
2-0.
Job well done.
2-0. Two clean sheets. I can't imagine a better way to start your season coming off that heartbreaking Champions League final loss.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. And they've also had a great preseason.
Mm-hmm.
I think in four games they scored about like 14 goals.
Yep.
Yeah, so it was great. Then next up, we have a big loss, an upset. Brighton Hove Albion beating Manchester United 3-2. You had Murray scoring in the 25th, Duffy in the 27th, but Lukaku brought it back in the 34th, so 2-1. But then late in the first half, right before the first half ended out, Bailly gives out a penalty kick, and Gross finishes out in the 44th minute. At this point, 3-1 going into the second half. What are you thinking as Mourinho? What are you saying to your team at this point?
You got to go, guys. You got to go out there, and it's a game of runs. We need to go out there. We need to go out there, try and get a quick goal out there to start the second half, cut this deficit to one. And listen, at the end of the day, like, obviously, and I don't know how I would say this as a coach in soccer, because, listen, you're down two goals. A draw is almost like a win at that point. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, I want to try and coach my guys up, get them pumped up to get the third goal, get the win. But you know what I mean? You're down two goals. You'd settle for a draw at that point. So, but I'm really, you got to say, got to get them fired up. Tell them to get out there. Hey, guys, it's a game of runs. Let's get out there, work them. We're Manchester United for a reason. We got to go out there, show them why right now. They're playing with nothing to lose. So guess what? Now they have this two-goal lead. The pressure's on them to hold it. We got to go out there and we got to prove to them why we are who we are.
Yeah, and I almost feel like in the second half, it felt like their ghosts of last year were haunting them. They were still that slow tactical team that lacked zero inspiration. I mean, they almost try to play like Juventus, but Juventus has some spark. They have Douglas Costa. They have Dybala. You know, they have Higuain, you know?
Mm-hmm.
they have a spark. But with them, I mean, the players that he was bringing on, I feel like I get why he started Martial, but he just plays with zero inspiration.
He does not play that well.
Yeah, he's I don't get it.
He's been young. We've been waiting to see him take that next step. I feel he just has not taken it.
And you've seen this part that he can provide late in games. You know, like
he thinks,
the wing. He thinks he plays, little step over.
He thinks he plays for France and can turn it on and off like a switch in a faucet, but he can't.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and then in the 95th minute, Pogba scores a penalty kick, right?
I think so.
I think it was
a penalty kick.
Yeah. So 3-2, Man United.
3-2, but again, that second goal in the 95th is not doing much for you.
It was a horrible showout. Even if they did tie it up, it would still be a loss. It wouldn't be as big of a loss, but it would still be a loss. But moving on, do you think Mourinho should get the boot? Do you think he should be on the hot seat this season if he was not already on the hot seat?
I don't want to say he should get the boot 2 games in, but that seat has got to be Mourinho.
I mean, it's starting to get...
That seat has to be a black leather seat
in the
on a hot 105 summer degree day when you first sit on that after it's been sitting in the parking lot for work from 9 to 5. That's how hot that seat's got to be if you're Mourinho, where you sit there and you're like, woo, got to get off that.
And you know who's the culprit that parked that car in the sun? His little buddy over there across the bridge in Manchester City, Pep Guardiola, with his squad, winning 6-1 against Huddersfield, a straight up shellacking.
Usually,
you know that's like a.
Aguero had a hat trick, right?
Yeah, Aguero had a hat trick. Jesus contributed in the 31st. Silva with a beautiful free kick in the 40th minute. And I think one of the Huddersfield players had an own goal in the 84th.
Okay.
But, yeah, so I think that's what really turns it up. So if you're Jose Mourinho right now, this is one of the losses that you were not affording to give up.
No
one. And this is too early. This is too early in the season to be giving up losses like this.
Mm-hmm.
But next up we have Tottenham beating Fulham 3-1. With Lucas Moura scoring a stunner, Trippier scoring another great free kick. Harry Kane, of course, getting on the scoreboard in the 77th. But for Fulham, he had Mitrovic scoring a little diving header on the ground in the 52nd minute. And then next up, we have Chelsea beating Arsenal 3-2 in a thriller. This game was a thriller in Manila between these two giants.
Two big teams in the Premier League.
Yeah, two big teams. And once again, it was Arsenal taking the L. You know, Unai Emery must be feeling a little shaken by this. I wouldn't say he's on the hot seat. He's a new coach, but interesting to see how this rocky road of a start progresses throughout the Arsenal season.
Yeah, and the Premier League season itself, too. I mean, talking about Man U, we'll see what happens there. I mean, Liverpool 2-0, Man City off to a good start, and again, talk about Chelsea going up against Arsenal, two powers in the Premier League. So definitely a big win for Chelsea there earlier in the season to get a win over Arsenal there, because you definitely want that 3 points over that one there. But looks like we got a caller on the line. Going to get them on the air here right now. Area code 973, last four digits, 6294. Hello, you are on the air with Sports Unchained. Who are we speaking with?
Good evening, gentlemen. This is Lou from Jersey.
Mr. Lou, how's everything going this evening?
All right.
What's on your mind tonight, sir?
Well, I know you don't really follow much of the American soccer, but our New York team seem to be doing rather well. The Red Bulls and the upstarting NYFC.
Oh, I was thinking about the Red Bulls there. Excuse me. How are they doing right now?
Second overall in the standings, and NYFC is right behind them, and they play each other tomorrow night.
Yep, I was actually looking that up as we speak. A big game there coming up against the Red Bulls. Lou, who do you got in that one?
I'm a Red Bulls fan. I mean, no offense to NYFC fans, but, you know, I was a Red Bulls fan even before they were the Red Bulls. I go back to the Metro Stars.
Okay. Okay, now I'm looking up. I got the standings up here. Seems like they've played a decent amount of games thus far in the soccer season. How much longer do we have until playoffs for the MLS?
We have roughly about 6-7 weeks. Don't forget,
okay,
this schedule works for rags
and
baseball. You know, about 6-7 weeks.
About a month and a half there, so around, it's pretty much like the hunt for Red October.
Yeah, you can say that. But don't forget, their schedule is more sporadic than baseball.
Yeah, they only play about a game or two a week, correct?
If
much
that.
Like the Europeans? If that.
If that, because sometimes they play once every 10 days.
Okay. Yeah, and looking at the standings there, I think you had just mentioned that you got the Red Bulls over there in second with 48 points,
mm-hmm.
and then NYCFC with 47. So definitely a big game.
Big game.
Coming up there, you figure whoever wins that most likely is going to sit there pretty good in second place. But Atlanta, just 3 points ahead of the Red Bulls with 51 points. So let's say the Red Bulls beat New York and Atlanta loses. You got a tie up there. You got a tie right there up at the top.
I'll be a happy camper.
Yeah, and looking at that Western Conference, you got to like your chances if, let's say, you make it out of the East, though, because top three teams in the East would all be the number one seed in the Western Conference. Number one in the West over there, you have FC Dallas with 45 points. Now, Lou, how many teams make it? How do the playoffs work in the MLS? If I'm not mistaken,
I believe it's
the conference.
It's by conference, and the top the top three in the conference make it to the top four.
Okay. Top three or four.
It's a league that's expanding. They're growing.
I thought it may have been the top six there because, personally, I see the LA Galaxy up there at number five, a point behind Real Salt Lake, three behind LAFC. You know, they have Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Yes.
You would love to see him and the I think it'd be great for the MLS as well when you have a big-name star like that being able to make the MLS playoffs. Come in, I think it's going to be more your casual soccer fan to want to see, okay, can this guy come in and win an MLS title in his first year here?
Right.
Now, Evan, let me get your opinion.
I wish I could say the same for DC United's new acquisition, Rodney, but since they're not going anywhere this year, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, definitely that Rooney acquisition brought in to try and make fans want to come and watch them for the rest of the season there. They're just DC United sitting there with 27 points, eighth in the conference. But Evan, let me ask your opinion on this real quick, because we talked about this last week with the idea with the World Cup coming to North America. For American soccer, let's say the LA Galaxy were to go on and win the MLS Cup. And Lou, I'll get your thoughts on this here in a second too. But let's say Zlatan Ibrahimovic comes in, wins the MLS Cup his first year here in the United States. In a way, that's got to be a blow for American soccer, right? For someone to come in from another country their first year and win this title, you'd kind of want him to have to struggle for a little bit, let him know that we play some real soccer over here. You don't just get to come in right off the bat and win the title.
Well, I think that'll be depending on how much you have to contribute in that championship journey.
Okay.
If he ends up scoring, multiple double-digit goals and just dominating, then, yeah, he sends a different message. But it being a team from L.A., I think with that L.A. Shimmer, it shines right there next to with the Zlatan. So you think more of the L.A. as a team with Zlatan, but you also think about – I'm sure it also had other stars, and that would also be attractive
to the casual soccer.
Some of them left last time.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a big market, so you would think they'd have the best talent that MLS would pass the hall.
Which they do, and which they do attract.
Yep, they had the Dos Santos twins you and I were talking about earlier. Lou, how do you feel about that idea that for American soccer, it's not a good look for a guy like Zlatan to come in year one and go ahead and potentially take that title?
Well, that's a really high expectation to happen, though. You know, I mean, nobody expects in the first year for them to win a title.
Mm-hmm. Expectation definitely factors into it, whether or not we think he's going to be able to go and do that. And when you look at the Galaxy, I think, as Edwin said, when you talk about that market, you would think based off the market that they are in there, but when you look at the standings, they do say otherwise. Fighting to get into that playoff spot, if it's top three or the top four, if it's five, they have it, I believe. But if it's top three or four, they're on the outside looking in right now.
Yes. I mean, the standings don't lie. I mean, I'll give you that. But still, I mean, you're expecting an awful lot from a player that to win his first year in American soccer.
Yeah. It'd be a very interesting sight. Would definitely be a very interesting sight, though. And again, it's not like this is some average player that was coming over from one of the European leagues. You're talking about one of the all-time greats, one of the most notorious players in Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Yeah. But remember, it's not the second coming of Pele, and it's not another Beckham either, so.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely, absolutely. Zlatan, one of the greats, but you got to respect those ones that come. You definitely have to respect the ones that come before there.
And Zlatan was a little bit more than pretty to gain his
pretty ugly to gain his
fame.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Zlatan, if he's your cup of tea, he's your cup of tea. If he's not, he's not. Just the way his personality is. You either love him or you hate him, I feel.
That's usually how it's done.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But, Lou, looking ahead at the MLS and what they got going the rest of the seasons there, give me three teams that you would say would be favorites to win the MLS Cup.
Well, I'll take a stab with, of course, my Red Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
And Atlanta, I think, has a good shot. I mean, they've done well for a first-year team. I mean, I'll give you that. So I think they're in great contention to win. I mean, nobody expected them to do well their first year. I mean, basically, they're kind of still unheard of. But they beat all expectations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you there, but...
Okay, one more. That's a tough one. I got two so far. The third one. Can't think of the third one though.
I feel like it's an open book. You know, I have the standings up here and. For the most part, with the exception of Atlanta, everyone is within a game or two of each other in each conference. You know, the Red Bulls, New York FC, 48 and 47 apiece. Then you have FC Dallas, number one in the West over there at 45. So with the exception of Atlanta, everyone for the most part within a game or two of each other in the standings. So it's going to be a dog.
Yeah. You're breaking up a bit, though, actually.
We are.
Yeah.
All righty.
I couldn't get some of the question either because you're breaking up a bit.
All righty. We'll try and get this last one in if you can hear us there, Luke, because it looks like we're getting some technical difficulties. But we have Real Madrid, no Cristiano Ronaldo. He made that move over to Juventus. But
yes.
what do you think the expectation for them could be or should be, having just, you know,
without
the champion,
that, without Ronaldo, that's a completely different team. I don't see any real expectations with them at all. They lost a major factor with Ronaldo, and it's really going to be the downfall for that team. I don't see them going much anywhere.
Yeah, I am with you there, Lou. I think they struggled in La Liga last year.
Mm-hmm.
Did not have a good year there. Again, Champions League was Champions League. I think at a certain point they said, this is what we're going to play for, and they went out and they did. You lose a guy like Ronaldo, it definitely is a big blow to your team. Edwin, what do you think?
They definitely look like a different team, but of course, losing one of the most inspiring players in the past decade, it's going to have an effect, but they still have a on the field like Bale, Modric, young stars in Vasquez and who's the second one? I always forget his name.
I don't know off the top of my head.
I think I got a third team finally. And you might find it maybe a bit of a surprise on here, but I might go with KC.
Okay.
KC? I don't know. I feel like
I don't think KC has a sunshine band either. At least you got the joke.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with you, Lou. Number two over there in the West, 42 points. So they're sitting pretty, and they'll be in the hunt there. So I can't disagree with you there, but Real will be interesting, though. I think, again, Barcelona is Barcelona, their top dog there in La Liga. Champions League, we'll see what happens, because you don't have a Cristiano Ronaldo. He is a guy who literally brings you a few wins a year just because of who he is.
I wish he'd come over here. Can you imagine if we had Ronaldo coming over to MLS?
It'd be amazing. That'd be huge. That would be. I think it would be bigger than Beckham, I think.
Way bigger, because it wouldn't be treated as more of like a retirement. I mean, it'll be treated. It's his back end, but
he's gonna come in and play at a high level.
So. It'll be a high level back end, and
And
I feel like Real Madrid right now, a nice mirror of what they're like right now without Cristiano Ronaldo. It was in that cup final between them and their city rival, Atletico Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
And you just saw, I mean, just between Douglas Costa bullying Sergio Ramos, and as a Liverpool fan, you know, it's great to see someone.
Yeah.
Play that little dirty line with a not-so-good team player. Yeah,
100%.
And, yeah, you just saw a team that played without that, like, that clear-cut edge. You know, Marcelo looked not himself down that left flank.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the middle of the pack, Cruz was looking old. You know?
When you don't have a Ronaldo, you have a different feel to that team.
Modric was on the bench, but still, you just saw Madrid really taste blood in the water, and Madrid came out of that game thinking, wow, we might be able to challenge Barcelona for this title. It's not anymore Barcelona and Real Madrid have to challenge. It's just really Barcelona. This might be Atletico's year, and I'm picking them to win the La Liga.
It'll be interesting, but Lou, we're gonna get into the last part of the evening here before we go here. Any last words?
No, I'm just gonna stick my predictions. Of course, I could be wrong, but I'm still gonna go with my instinct.
We're gonna check back with you Lou. We're gonna keep track of those predictions here. Keep track as we got the hunt for Red October going on. But Mr. Lou Tenor, host of the Enhanced Sports Show here in the Zone Sports Radio, airs every Saturday from 6 o'clock, Mr. Lou. We do appreciate your time as always, and enjoy the rest of your night.
I will. Thanks a lot, gentlemen.
Absolutely. And Edwin, wrapping up, soccer here real quick. We had PSG playing over there in the French league, Ligue 1, correct?
Yeah, of course.
Had a game.
It started out not so good for them.
Yeah.
Going up against Gengamp.
Yep. Had a game there against Gengamp. Wound up coming out 3-1. So good win then for there. And then speaking of Real Madrid, had a game against Getafe over the weekend. Took that 2-0. FC Barcelona as well. Had a 3-0 victory over there against Alaves. So good stuff there for the big teams, I think. And as you said, I think Atletico won their game as well. So each of the big three in La Liga each picking up their victories. But getting into our last topic here of the evening, the reason we're doing this topic, you know, John Gruden, new coach of the Raiders, was talking about Martavis Bryant. And anyone would say Bryant is a special talent. And in the words of Stephen A. Smith, he needs to stay off the weed. But John Gruden had dubbed Martavis Bryant, and I don't know how I feel about this nickname because it seems like it should be a fire nickname.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But coming from John Gruden, it just does not seem like a fire nickname. John Gruden has called Martavis Bryant the White Tiger because he is such a special, unique player. And I can picture John Gruden right there. Well, I'm going to call this guy the White Tiger. See, he's not like an orange tiger. He's not your average wide receiver. This guy's special.
Yeah.
He has the capability to do things that not anyone can do. He's not like one of those orange tigers. You could just picture John Gruden going on that rant in the Monday night booth, but it inspired me. So you and I each came up with a list of our top five favorite nicknames from athletes spanning everything, wrestling to professional football, UFC. Anyone in the athletic industry has made our top five list, and I'll start with number five for each of us. My number five was the Honey Badger, Terran Mathieu. I think that's just an awesome nickname. You know,
yep.
You talk about the Honey Badger and what the Honey Badger don't give an F.
You remember the videos.
The videos. It was awesome.
Yep.
And that's a mean nickname. That's a mean animal. And Mathieu was a beast at LSU during his time there when he got that Honey Badger nickname. And I thought that was an awesome nickname. Then for you, we had CR7. Staying on that subject of Cristiano Ronaldo a little bit. Why'd you go that one? What about CR7 did you like?
I think it will go down as like an infamous, well-recognizable brand, nickname,
mm-hmm.
Whatever you want to call it, in sports history. CR7, I mean, it kind of rolls off a trunk.
It's
a little bit attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And you know immediately what you think about. When I hear CR7, I just think about that celebration with the...
Yep, the jump, you know, just, crossing the uncrossing of the arms.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Definitely, I get...
It has that...
Has a ring to it.
Yeah, you just think of
mm-hmm.
just pure class.
Yep.
That Real Madrid class.
Then we've got your number four, Prime Time. Speaking of Mr. Deion Sanders there. Not an iconic name, absolutely. When you say Prime Time, you obviously know who you're talking about, but... Outside of that, any other reasons why you have Prime Time number four, why it was on the top five?
I think I mostly picked these nicknames just what comes to mind off the top, right?
Uh-huh.
And when I think of Prime Time, I think of that little Prime Time,
mm-hmm.
time. And I think about the Jerry Curl, you know, it's always wet. Well, or what is it? It looks wet.
Yep,
but it's always dry, right?
Yep.
Or
something like that.
It may look wet, but it's always dry.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I mean, what a fantastic player, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
Everyone loved Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
That's 21. That's
He's
21.
He's a good athlete, absolutely. You can't hate Deion.
Just how basketball players like to play, wear number 23 because
uh-huh.
of MJ.
Or do people like 21 because of prime time?
Yeah, I mean, quarterbacks in the league wear 21.
Defensive backs. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And my number four, Magic for Magic Johnson. I think when you talk about a nickname, this Magic Johnson became his name. No one calls him Irvin Johnson. He goes by Magic. When people are in the meetings, in professional meetings, they're calling him Magic. So this nickname literally became his persona. It's almost like Irvin is one person and Magic is another person. So it's for your nickname to become almost like an alter ego for you. Definitely. It has to be on the greatest nickname list. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's definitely one of those marquee names in sports, especially out on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to go with just Magic as just a name, it's one of those names like Cher,
mm-hmm.
you know?
You know exactly who it is.
Yeah, it's just,
it's McLaughlin.
it's a one-name moniker. Yeah,
yep.
Yeah,
exactly. Sting.
Absolutely.
Then,
Slash.
Yep. Then my number three, the Black Mamba, Kobe mm-hmm. Bryant. Granted, maybe a little biased here because Kobe Bryant is personally my favorite basketball player of all time, but it's one of those things that really fits the personality. You know what I mean? The Mamba is one of the most deadly snakes, a stone-cold killer. And when you watch Kobe play, you can watch him and know, there's the Mamba look. There's that look of Kobe's going into this mode where he's going to kill you now. Kobe was Kobe, but when you knew that look where it was like, that's the Mamba mentality, it really became, not in a way, an alter ego, not like a Magic Johnson, but in a way you could see it. It's almost like a Transformer type thing where you could see him going into that Mamba mode.
Yeah, I know, definitely. Especially in the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
He really showed that killer MJ-like mentality.
Yeah.
And, some of those threes he was hitting, like late in games. I mean, just ask fans out in Indiana.
Yep. Absolutely.
For sure.
Then we got your number three there, AI, the answer, Allen Iverson.
Mm.
Definitely a great nickname there.
Zero explanations needed.
Yeah.
Zero explanations needed.
Zero explanations. Then we'll get to your second one here. I believe I know who this is, but we'll get some clarification. Ibra Kadabra. I'm assuming it's talking about Mr. Zlatan.
The one and only.
There.
I mean, come on. The Swedish god. Yeah.
The AWD god.
I mean, Ibra Kadabra. One of the reasons I've always liked CR7, Cristiano Ronaldo, is because he's proved it in multiple theaters.
Mm-hmm.
In England, Portugal, and in Spain, and currently he's about to do it in Italy.
Yep.
You know, he's been to multiple places.
He's done it. He's been around the Met.
You know? Messi's always been a little more
Centralized,
yeah. And it's different. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
It's just different. And this guy, Zlatan, he's done it in Italy, France, England. He's done it in
the United States.
In Spain, he's done it. In the U.S., he's currently doing it. I mean, this guy has had a heck of a career.
Yeah.
And he's just been a legend everywhere he's been. And
mm-hmm.
he's Zlatan. And just to give us a little quick story on him, you know, coming out of he used to play in Malmo, which was in Sweden, I believe. Yeah, it was a club team in Sweden.
Okay.
And he had a training session. He had a possibility to train for Arsene Wenger at Arsenal.
Yep.
And he literally said, "Why would I want to train for him? I mean, they would do their research. I mean, they've seen the film on me, right?
Yep.
He pulled a Dion. He pulled a Dion maybe before a Dion pulled a Dion."
I like it. Yeah,
yeah.
No, absolutely. Zlatan, and again, one of the all-time greats. My number two, Megatron, Calvin Johnson. I think that's just an awesome nickname. You know, when you think Megatron, you think about the guy when Transformers coming from the cartoon there, but it takes every Transformer to fight Megatron. Everybody has to come together to take out this guy. And when you see Calvin Johnson, you see him catching jump balls over three defenders. The size, the speed that he had, again, I think just another nickname that truly fit the player. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I know what you mean. He was definitely one of those players where if you're in the red zone, it's automatic.
You're going to see why this nickname is what it is.
Exactly. And it's sad that his career ended early, but I guess on his terms, which is
he ended it when he wanted to end it.
Respect to him, and
definitely have fun.
When he did play, he was not top five; it was a top three receiver.
Yes, top three.
And we're talking when you had some big cats in the game. You had some big cats.
Yeah, absolutely. Now we'll go with your number one to start here. We got Ocho Cinco, Mr. Chad Johnson, a.k.a. Chad Ochocinco.
in the words of French Montana.
Definitely, definitely made that nickname what it was.
I mean, that's
his impressive. Own last name. He made it.
Yeah, legendary. I mean, that's it's like I said before. It's I went with these nicknames with what first came to mind. And I mean, Ocho Cinco. That just puts a smile on your face.
Yeah.
To be honest, I mean, Chad Johnson. What a player. What a character in the league.
Character, a player produced on the field.
First ballot. I mean, maybe not in the numbers. I mean,
he should get there, though.
But, I mean, just everybody knew Chad Johnson.
I think he should get there, yeah. Everyone knew who he was. And then my number one, I think a bit of a curveball. We're going to go into the world of wrestling, but the game, Triple H. I don't know. Kind of like Allen Iverson, to call yourself the answer, for to sit there and call yourself the game. That's just a boss thing to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I am the game. And you're going to play me. You're going up against the game. I think that's just an awesome nickname. And it's even better, too, because when you talk about the world of professional wrestling, you have to be able to market yourself to get over. It's not necessarily just your talent, because there's a lot of guys who are good in the ring, but they don't have that ability to market themselves outside of the ring to make people really want to pay attention to them. Like Randy Orton with the RKO, everything John Cena does in Hollywood, The Rock, Stone Cold. The greats are able to market themselves and make you pay attention to not just them in the ring, but them outside of the ring. And when people think about Triple H, you think of the game. And I'm going to throw the Cerebral Assassin in there as well, because that just sounds mean. That just sounds like somebody you don't want to mess with. Imagine if you're getting into an MMA ring or a boxing ring, and this guy calls himself the Cerebral Assassin. You're thinking that
it definitely psychs you out.
It psychs you out a little bit. Like, the guy would be known for the most deadly head games you could think of, but definitely a good nickname there. That's going to wrap up our top five nicknames, but we're going to go into final thoughts here. Real quick for the evening, Edwin, we'll start with you. Had a nice little shout-out planned, I believe, correct?
Oh, yeah, of course. Unfortunately, it's on a sour note, an unfortunate note. I hate to end a great podcast like this,
mm-hmm.
but on the death of a great legendary soul singer, an American icon, Aretha Franklin, from Detroit.
Motown.
Yeah, from Motown. But she was actually born in Tennessee, but her fame came in Detroit.
Yep.
Detroit was like the New York City before
New York City.
I mean, that's where the cars
that's
were.
The soul where, music.
That was the it town. That was the cool in town, yeah, for sure. And it's sad to lose her. What an icon. I mean,
uh-huh.
Everybody remembers her from her R-E-S-P-E-C-T,
mm-hmm.
Respect song. Natural Woman, I Say a Little Prayer, and I mean, it's sad, and
it's I think, listen, when you get to that age, it's almost like you expect it, but it's never a good thing. But again, an icon in the music industry, one of the all-time greats, one of the most recognizable songs of all time, too. Songs that, and it's sad because I think with how today's music society works, this generation of people, these kids who listen to the little Zans, the Little Pumps, and everything, they have no idea who Aretha Franklin is or really give a damn. But our generation, we appreciate it at least. We may not know too much about her, but we can at least appreciate what she did for music and appreciate her music.
Yeah, I think she died at 76. A ripe old age. I mean, she lived a good life. Rest in peace, of course. Condolences to her family,
mm-hmm.
and her remaining family.
Yeah, absolutely there. Absolutely. But going into my final thought of the evening, and again, one thing you and I were talking about before the show, everyone, but Daniel Cormier, Brock Lesnar, the fight most likely going to happen January 2019. But Brock Lesnar, featured in a match at SummerSlam for the World Wrestling Entertainment, WWE, finally lost his Universal title to Roman Reigns. So, an exciting time for WWE programming, because you're going to have a champion on every weekend. Roman defended his title last night against Finn Balor. So good to see a fighting champion already putting that belt on the line his first night being champion. But going into the Brock Lesnar aspect of it, though, Daniel Cormier trash-talking Brock Lesnar, saying, oh, you don't have that title anymore. This isn't like Brock Lesnar lost a boxing title, a UFC title. He lost a WWE title, scripted, contractually agreed upon for him to lose that title. So I just don't understand how you can trash-talk Brock Lesnar in that situation. Doesn't seem like a smart move. And speaking of nicknames, for a guy who calls himself the Beast Incarnate, I don't know anyone who uses the word incarnate outside of talking about Brock Lesnar's nickname. So, scary nickname there. Not a guy you want to mess with or get on his bad side. And I think Cormier's trying to draw Lesnar out, create hype for this fight. But Lesnar's not going to talk to you. Lesnar's not going to get caught up in that media ruckus, Cormier. He's going to stay quiet. He's going to show up. When he shows up, things will pop off, but he's ready for the octagon. That's the only thing he's looking forward to. And I got him over you. I'm calling that now. So we'll see what happens come that match. But I got Brock Lesnar over Daniel Cormier. You heard it here first.
Oh, yeah, and I definitely think it was a lame, a weak move by Cormier.
Right.
To come at him on social media for that little petty. I mean, it's almost just like a, really, bro? It's his job.
Do you want people to talk
about
us?
It's just really.
Yeah, really.
Really.
Yeah.
Absolutely, really. But that is all the time that we've got for you here tonight. For my co-host, Edwin Gattal, this is Eric Cedini. Have some fun tomorrow, folks.